This episode of Boulder People was recorded in May of 2022, so please keep that in mind when any dates are referenced. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy the episode.
Hi, I'm Katie Ellman, and this is the sixth episode of Boulder People. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Boulder People is a show that explores the dynamic lives of older adults in southwestern Indiana. Today's conversation is with Mr. Todd Reller. Mr. Reller is on the board of the Indiana State Games, or ISG, and participates in the ISG track events. Mr. Reller has even qualified for and competed in the National Senior Games in 2016, 2018, and 2021. Along with his participation in ISG, he was inducted to the USI Hall of Fame for men's cross-country track in 2007. With Mr. Reller's extensive background in cross-country and track, we are excited to discuss the importance of athletics and fitness for older adults. Mr. Reller, I am thrilled to hear more about your insights, advice, and lessons learned on our sixth episode of Boulder People. Thank you for taking time to be here today.
Thanks for having me.
We've mentioned the Indiana State Games in your introduction. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about those games?
So in 1986, it was the Senior Olympics. They were local around Evansville. Now, they're national, but most of the people here were just in the Evansville area. So in 2013, Holly Schneider became the executive director. She changed the name from Senior Olympics to Indiana State Games. So now she has well over 500 participating. You must be over 50 years old, and there's 20-some events. They range anywhere from track and field to basketball to pickleball. We could go on and on and on, and they're happening in June.
Now, are the 500 participants from Southwest Indiana or all across the state?
We have some of the events in Indianapolis, and most of them are down here. But they travel not only within our state to these events, but the neighboring states also participate.
Fantastic. And how long have you been involved in the games as far as an athlete? Athlete goes.
In 2016, Holly told me about the games. And so you qualify for nationals in an even year, and the nationals are an odd year. So in 2016, I decided to qualify. And I did. And I won the state here. And then I went on to Birmingham in 17 and won the nationals there in the 10,000 meters. Shortly after that, became a board member.
So you won the national 10,000, is that right?
I won the whole thing, yeah.
Congratulations. That's an accomplishment.
A lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of pain, but yeah, I wanted to do it.
And tell us a little bit about the culture of the games. So what is it like competing here in Indiana, and then what is it like competing at the national level?
It reminds me of these 5K and 10K races that we have around here today. You got the folks up front that are really competitive, and you have other people that participate because they want to be social. It's just fun. It's exercise. And that's the way it is at the state level. And the national level is similar, but there's just a little bit more competition.
I love the combination of the social piece, the athletic and fitness piece, combined with the competitive nature that you can participate in. Like it's kind of an offering of all three areas.
Yeah, it is.
So what is your role on the board?
I was told the other day that I am president of the board. I didn't know that because we all participate. We all have involvement. So I guess that's what I'm called, but we're all equal on the board. I'll get along great too.
Is it recruitment or advisory, or what are the goals and hopes for the board in this endeavor?
We try to do whatever Holly asks us to do. Holly is the driving force. Her and the volunteers do all the work. We talk, we discuss, we try to figure out how to grow. And so we sit around and we have meetings at least every quarter. And so that's what we do. It's a lot of fun.
So someone who wins the national 10,000 meter probably didn't just start running for the Indiana State Games. Can you tell us a little bit about your interest in track and cross country and a little history in that realm?
Well, we're out here at USI today, so we'll just start right there. I came to this campus in 1980 on a cross country and track scholarships. I was 18 years old at the time. And so that's where it all started. I mean, I started in high school, but the next level was here at USI. So I participated for 4 years here and graduated, and I continued to run until I was 29. And then I hit a burnout period. And so I decided at 51, I was going to have my first grandchild, and I was going to run a marathon. And I'll never forget, I told my wife, Andrea, that. And she said, you can't even hardly run around the block right now. And I said, well, I'm going to get started. And I did it. And I won my age group, and I qualified and went to Boston Marathon on that.
You mentioned that you were a student athlete here at USI in track and cross country. Can you tell us about a few highlights from your experience as a college athlete at USI?
Yes, I was fortunate enough my junior year to get All-American, which is top 25 in the nation at the Nationals. So I've had success there. And the other thing is I was able to compete in 6 Nationals, 4 cross country and 2 in track. And our team was nationally ranked every year here. So that's what was happening out here at USI. And then I just took that and carried on through with it. So,
yeah, USI has... The cross-country and track teams, they have such a great reputation and have seen a lot of success over the years. And so some of us who are at USI or who drive out here know that our cross-country team runs around campus in different paths, along the sidewalks. We see them everywhere. Where did you train when you were a student?
We did the same thing, but we went to the roads more, and it was a love-hate relationship. And then we did it here.
Can you tell us a little bit about your connection at USI and your career?
Yeah, so in 1980, I came here. We ran with the group. I didn't know anybody except the coach and one of my roommates. And I looked up there, and it looked like we had an older senior, and I asked who that guy was. And the guy who was running with us was actually 13 years older than us. His name was Danny Bateman, and he owned Ark Construction. We became friends, and when I graduated, he asked me to work for him in the construction industry, which I declined because I told him all 4 years when I was here, I said, I'm going to college so I didn't have to be in construction. So a year after I left, he called me again and said, it's time for you to come to the family business.
And you also shared your favorite songs, and I know music is really important to you. Can you tell us a little bit about your interest in music?
So I've always loved music, but now I'm going to hit you with something here that that the older folks need to hear also, is I was at the St. Jude's Children's Marathon and Half Marathon, and it was the night before the race. I wasn't running. I was in Memphis, Tennessee, but the guys that I trained with were running, and I went to a nightclub, and a band was playing, and the band looked older. And so the band took a break, and I was watching them play, and the lead singer walks up next to me to get something at the bar, and I just asked him, I said, hey, can a 55-year-old learn how to play guitar? And he looked at me, and he said, yes. He goes, 3 things. Buy a good guitar, have a live human being teach you, and give it a year to a year and a half. He said, why do you ask? I said, I'm 54 and I'm going to be 55 and I don't know if I can run much longer. I said, but I can't do those things. And he goes, well, which one can't you do? And I said, the year, year and a half. He goes, well, give it a year and a half, 2 years then. I said, you're going the wrong direction. You don't know Todd Reller. So I learned, and within 3 months, I was playing guitar, and within 4 months, we'd formed a band, and now we play.
Oh, that's exciting.
We do private gigs and all different genres.
And so tell us a little more about your band so our listeners know a little bit more about maybe the band members, how you all came together.
It's interesting. I've got runners on my weekend group that play. They all play guitar, or one played drums, but they never played together and didn't play in a band. So I told them, I said, you know what, turning 55, and once I master this guitar, I said, we're going to get together and we're going to play. And so when I started playing, I would see him on the weekends. And I said, hey, learn these 3 songs, because I'm learning these 3 songs. Because once you master your angles and your shapes and know your chords, then it's just a matter of putting it all together. And so I was having a party in about 2 weeks, and I knew 6 songs. So I told these guys, and they'd been playing all their life, I said, I know these 6 songs. Let's do it. So we had a few people over, and that's how the band got together. So we're sitting around, we did it, and one of the other guys was there, said, hey, I'm going to have a party next month. Can you play it at my party? Then we had 12 songs. And so that's, these guys could do more. So I said, let's put a band together. And so then we decided, what are we going to call our band? I wanted to relate it because we're all runners. The original band members, the four of us, were runners. The one I came up with was Sub 3. And in the marathon world, if you've ran a marathon in under 3 hours, that's a major accomplishment. That's well under 7 minute miles. And so we're called the Sub 3 Band.
Oh, I love it.
And so that's how we came up with the band. And then we picked up a keyboard lady who's younger, and she plays saxophone and clarinet, but mostly keyboard. And she goes, I've never ran a marathon in Sub 3. And I said, well, did you run 3 miles today? She goes, no, I don't know if I've ever ran 3 miles. I said, well, there you go, Sub 3.
Perfect. So she fit right in, didn't she?
She fit. Yeah, she's the den mother now. She's young enough to be my daughter, and my drummer is too, but she's like the den mother. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's fantastic. I love it. And I love the idea. I'm seeing a theme evolve in this interview today. I love the idea of growth and development, that you picked up something brand new at 54, 55, and you learned a new skill, and then you use it in your life very regularly.
I'm pretty busy. I move around a lot. I don't read many books because I look at a lot of blueprints and I read a lot of specifications. So when I'm not doing that, I got to be moving. And so there's always something. Trying to reinvent myself, that sounds really like I'm creative. No, I just got to be busy. Because I think there may be a few A's, D's, and H's behind my name, and I just don't know how to put them in what order. But now, the other thing I wanted to share with the listeners is I'm getting ready to turn 60 in July. So now I'm looking at what's the next project.
And what is the next project?
I don't know yet. I mean, it hit me within 30 days about the guitar back when I was 54, when I turned 55. And I started it when I turned 55. I had the guitar all ready to go and everything. It was like, all right, we're going to start it. And so I don't know. I'm kicking around a few things, but we'll hold those tight to the chest because I'm not sure what they are. But it's going to be interesting, I'm sure.
So we like to ask our guests some rapid-fire questions where we just ask and you just answer first thing that comes to mind. So I'll jump on those right now. When you think back to your childhood, let's go back a little bit further in time, can you tell us a little bit about who was a role model for you growing up and what impact did that have on your life?
I would have to say my grandmother Olson, and here's why I could jump to that one pretty quick. I was born and raised in a small town in west central Illinois, about 300 miles from Evansville, 6,000 people in the middle of cornfields, hour and 10 minutes to get to any big city. In 1977, my grandfather passed away, and my grandma only lived two blocks away. And my mom thought it'd be a good idea if one of the kids, I was one of five, would go over and spend the weekend with Grandma Olson. I never left. I stayed with her the entire time. When you spend a lot of time like that, you get to see how she was a proud woman, but a quiet woman. Came from nothing. She didn't have anything, but she was just so proud. And then she would instill you to do the things your parents or grandparents say. Do your best, try your hardest. You know, you're not going to get there if you don't give it your best and stuff like that. And I think when she passed away, I reflected back on her and what she meant to me. And so I think it was Helen Olson.
And so you actually lived with her, is that right?
I did. When you have five kids in, I think, three or four-bedroom house, I had to share with my other brother. I didn't have to share a room with my grandma. So that was one of the reasons. But we were just really, we hit it off. She was always my grandma, but until I started living with her, it was just different. And so she really made a big impact on me.
Yeah, it's great to hear. There's so many really neat stories of intergenerational living. And I think your story brings out the goodness in what that has to offer. What is something you were afraid to do but did it anyway?
Left Beardstown, Illinois, drove 300 miles and came to Evansville to this college. Because I was going to go to a college within an hour and stay at the house. But I came down here and it was a brand new program. And I knew I'd have immediate impact. Where some of these other programs I was looking at, I would have done it, but this was immediate impact. And it was new. It was just new.
That's neat. And I think that this campus is beautiful, and it continues to grow and continues, I think, to have that feel of just being very inviting. So I can see that that's kind of a hallmark, I think, of USI.
Yeah, and we thought of that then as well.
So if you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice as a young adult, what would that be?
I could say several different things, but the one thing, since we're out here at USI, I do remember when I came to this campus, I really had to work hard because I did not take high school seriously until my running started. I just figured I'd be in construction. And then all of a sudden, I started running and I got notices from colleges they wanted me to run for. So I really had to get busy. And I remember my senior year in high school, I really had to work hard. So when you're young, work hard, take your education seriously.
That's really good advice for all of our listeners, especially our college students and our high school students. And what piece of advice would you give to the next generation?
Be kind to yourself. Especially the young generation, and I'm sure we did it too when we were younger. We just didn't see it. I see a lot of pressure, a lot of the expectations, or they're just not happy with themselves, or they try, they fail, or they don't want to even try. They just don't see they're not happy with themselves. So I'd say be happy with yourself.
I love that, and I love that. Be kind to yourself. It's important for all of us to think about that, young and older. Alike.
Exactly. And you want them to be kind to other people too, but it's got to start with you. If you're not happy, you're not kind to yourself, you're not going to be kind to other people. So then it just goes from there.
Love that. So Todd, for those who might be interested in more information about the Indiana State Games or to get involved themselves, maybe in one of the events, how should they get involved?
Sure. So the Indiana State Games, .org, Facebook or website. And if you go on there, Holly's done a great job. There's all the information of how to and why and where and when. They can print their information off or they can go online at those places and sign up and register. There's also a phone number in there for Holly Schneider, our executive director, who will answer any and all questions. And I encourage anybody that's 50 and over, we'll go back to what I do. If you're competitive like I am, or if you just want to be social, if you want to take it to the next level, this is a qualifying year. So we are training, our folks are training right now for May, this coming May, next month. They'll be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But as I said earlier in the podcast, the even years, which this is an even year, this is a qualifying year for nationals for next year, and next year's will be in Pittsburgh. So if you're, I think you're top four in your age group, and this is all broken down by age group, 50 to 54, 54 to 59, 60 to 64. So you're competing against those folks. And then, so if you want to take it to the national level, it gives you an opportunity to take a vacation into a city that you may not have seen before.
That concludes our conversation with Mr. Todd Reller. If you are interested in competing in the Indiana State Games, make sure to check out their website, indianastategames.org. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Boulder People, and we'll see you next time. This project is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, of the United States Department of Health and Human Services, as part of an award totaling $3.6 million with 0% financed with non-governmental sources. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by HRSA, HHS, or the U.S. government.